Galatians 5. I took a break for a few weeks here, and I just wanted to touch on a fruit of the Spirit. Which is kindness. And Harry talked on that a few weeks ago for the children. Now, when you think of kindness, Harry talked about how he was golfing with a couple gents, and they were quite kind. But when the things got difficult, the tone changed and the things came out of their heart. So when we're talking about kindness, we can think of people. There's a lot of kind people that aren't Christians. But when things get difficult, when does that turn? When does the kindness turn? And as Christians, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And that kindness shouldn't turn. It should actually grow as we're maturing in Christ. And when we look at an example of kindness, we have to look at our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ first of all, because they have the most kindness. They're filled with kindness. And I want to just read a couple of verses in Ephesians 2, verse 7. It says, let's read in verse 6. So back in verse 4, it says, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And then in Titus chapter 3, in verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we see that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It says in his kindness that he saved us. And there's a number of verses in the Psalms talking about, you know, how great his mercy and his kindness is, and the love of God. So our Savior and our Father is kind. And there's another passage in Matthew 12 that talks about Jesus Christ and how when he sees a bruised reed, and think of that as being us, you know, a reed that's been bruised and bent, it says he will not break it. And when there's a flame, a wick with a flame, and it's just smoldering, it says that it's a smoking flax. He's not going to just snuff it out. And so it's his kindness that will breathe life into us and give us, I think of Peter as he was walking on the water and there's a storm, and before he was on the water, he sees Jesus walking, or he sees someone, and then he says, "Don't be afraid," Jesus says, and he says, "If that's you, then call me to come out to you." And so then Peter starts walking on the water, and then Peter becomes afraid and starts looking at the waves, and then he starts to sink. The Lord, in Jesus' kindness, what did Peter do? He cried out, "Lord, save me." If we're a bruised flax or a bruised reed and a smoldering flax, what do we do in that situation? Are we going to give up and become discouraged and despaired? And no, we're look to Jesus and say, "Jesus, help." And in his kindness, he reached out and grabbed Peter and lifted him back up. He said, "Why were you afraid? Why did you doubt?" You know, that's his kindness that, as you know, there's times when we might be shaken and our faith might be shaken and start to waver. But in those times, look to Jesus and say, help. And in his kindness, he will take us by the hand and lift us up and cause us to rise again and walk on the water. That's his kindness. So in sharing the kindness of Jesus, did we deserve his kindness? In looking at those verses, it was like, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. You know, it wasn't by works, but it was by his grace that we were justified and saved. And so in looking at how he showed us this great kindness that we didn't deserve in saving us, then who are we going to express kindness to? Are we going to show kindness to those who only love us? Are we going to show kindness to those who can have us for dinner and create great meals for us, or who are doing good things for us? Well, I think there's a good passage in Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, it says in verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. It's talking about loving our enemies, being kind to our enemies. How easy is that if we don't have the Holy Spirit? That's when what's in the heart is going to be manifest, right? When we have an enemy who's really poking us, and trying to get a response and trying to get a reaction, or extremely a furnace of affliction is coming upon us and people are against us. Are we going to love our enemies? That is only through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the fruit of the Spirit of kindness, that we can actually show kindness. It says he's kind to the unthankful and the evil. You know what a good example of how he's kind to the unthankful and the evil? Do you see the farmers? Is every farmer who's having bountiful crops a Christian and loves the Lord? Or can there be a plot of land of a Christian who's bountiful and then his neighbor is just his enemy because he's so mean to him and his crop is just as bountiful because the Lord sends rain on both crops? And so we, even though those people aren't saved, we can show kindness, and perhaps God will grant them repentance. Perhaps that kindness will minister to them, right? So there's showing brotherly kindness, and in 2 Peter, it shows that how we're supposed to add to our faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, self-control, and self-control godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love, which is kindness, love everybody, right? So yeah, we're supposed to do good to the household of faith. We're supposed to be kind, it says, especially to the household of faith, but also to our enemies. And that's the high calling. So let's look at another passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, in verse 29, Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That's a good verse. That's a verse I'd like everyone to memorize. I know I've wanted my kids to memorize it. And I want to memorize it, and not only memorize it in the mind, but in the heart. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Because where does kindness really, a lot of it is what you're saying with your mouth. Is your tongue gentle, slow to speak, speaking words that are kind? Or is it corrupt and trying to get a response, trying to get someone aggravated? You know, in Matthew, where is it now? It's Matthew 18, in verse 6. It says that if you cause one of these little ones, these little children, to stumble, do you know what's better than that, than causing a little one to stumble? It's better to have a millstone hung around your neck and to be cast into the sea. I mean, those are pretty strong words that Jesus spoke. And what's he talking about? He's talking about doing something, maybe it's even with your words, to aggravate, make someone angry. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be just with our words. Someone who is weak in faith, maybe they're a child in faith, and because of your words, you cause them to become outraged and bitter and just run away from the faith, run away from, and cause them to sin. That's a very dangerous thing. And so the Lord is giving warnings. And so I share that because in this passage, we're talking about kindness. And that originates often by our speech. How are we speaking? Gently, slow to speak, kind, building up. And it says here, don't let corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know, I remember I was pondering about it this week, something that I said years ago, 20 years ago, 19 years ago to somebody. I was young in the faith then, very young in the faith. And this person was also young in the faith. And I said something that was almost lighthearted, but to be a joke. And I wasn't thinking that it was going to offend. But what I said caused great offense. And, you know, it was like maybe talking about a child's name and so on, and what they named their child. And I made a little reference to it because maybe it wasn't a biblical name or something, you know, because I had some legalism in my heart. And it created such great offense that all of a sudden there's immediate walls between me and a brother. And it was, you know, maybe a month or two later that this brother came to me and said that I had greatly offended him. And then we wept together and made it right. But I thought about how, I even think about that saying, how I said that, and how those words weren't kind words. I wasn't deliberately trying to offend, but my heart wasn't right, and it made manifest by what came out of my mouth. There was some legalism there and not love. And so you can do damage, and even 19 years later, I regret what I said. You know, it can be made right, but those words, you know, I'm sure that when he thinks about me now, he probably still thinks about what I said 19 years later. And because I think about it. And so we want to be cautious about what we're saying and with our speech. Because those words cannot be taken back, right? The damage is done. And you can repent and say sorry, but there's still a hurt there. So let's not let no corrupt word proceed out of the mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. See, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be made sad because of what we've said, what we've done, what's coming out of our mouth. It's good to think about that, being slow to speak. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger and clamor and all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. When you think of, okay, let that all be put away from you. Can a human being in there with self-control put that all away in their own strength? It's impossible. You can't put that away without the Holy Spirit. And so that's when I feel like that's when we say, God help. Jesus, help me. Save me. Like Peter did when he was sinking because he lacked faith. If you see those things coming out, you have to say, God, help. Cleanse this vessel. Because I can only humble myself. I can't do it in my own strength. So help. And then the Lord will help to pull that away. You know, it says put off these things and put on Christ. Put on kindness, it talks about in Colossians 3. You know, there's a part that we can do, but there's God has to do. He has to be the one to actually cleanse the heart. And we can just humble ourselves and to him and say, help me. And then in verse 32, so we're putting away evil speaking, talking about the tongue and malice, that's the tongue, and be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. That's a command. How can we be kind this week? How can we be kind to our brothers and sisters? How can we be kind to our spiritual brothers and sisters? How can we be kind to our enemies? Let's ponder on that. What it looks like to be kind. An act of kindness towards me really cut me when a few years ago. Someone that hadn't, I know them, but I don't spend time with them, hanging out with them or anything. But I know them, and I know they're Christians, and they love the Lord. And years ago, I was out for dinner with my family, and seven kids. I don't go out for dinner with my family very much. I can't even remember the last time I took them out for dinner, all seven. Sometimes we might order a couple pizzas in. But going out for dinner, it's going to be an $80 bill at least. And that's expensive. And so we don't do that often. This time was a birthday, and at the end of the, I saw this person, they came and said hi to me. And they had their family there as well. And at the end of it, they were gone, and I was waiting for the bill. I was expecting it to be $60+ because the kids, a lot of had kids' meals at that time. But all of a sudden, the waitress said, and your bill has been taken care of. And I knew who it was. And that really cut my heart, that kindness, because I know that was the Holy Spirit in him. And I know that he's a very generous person. And I know that I'm not generous. And the Lord wanted to teach me something. That I wouldn't do that. And I need to be more generous because I remember that today. That could have been 5-7 years ago or more. And that kindness spoke to me. That the Lord is kind. And you can show that kind of kindness. And that is, when you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it to Christ. So when we're kind to the brethren, it's being kind to Christ. We're doing it to him, or we're giving Christ the water, or we're giving our brethren who's thirsty water, we're giving it to Christ. And so we can remember that we can grow in kindness. And so let's think about how we can be kind. And it says, be kind to one another. And I'll just finish with that there. Amen.